So, paramount here was the contention that the constitutional law of England and the common law of England, as well as colonial charters, put the rights of Englishmen beyond Parliament's reach. He invoked Locke, the theoretical chronicler of the Glorious Revolution. From his logic, he argued that natural rights were beyond Parliament's reach, so were rights of Englishmen. Regardless of the source, the right was indisputable. Consent is required for taxation, and the taking of property, the Sugar Act, the Stamp Act to follow, is a violation of right unless there is consent. Otis's argument, grounded on positive law. John Dickinson made a similar kind of argument a few years later, in reaction initially to the Stamp Act and then to the Townsend Act. Now, Dickinson's political career extended from the Stamp Act Congress, where he was a Philadelphia or a Pennsylvania delegate and prime contributor to the Declaration of Rights and Grievances, through the Jefferson administration. So he spans the revolutionary to the early national period in American history. Now, he wrote in response to both the Stamp Act and the Townsend Act. And we're going to focus largely on the Townsend Act, but I want to give you a bit of a feel for what he said about the Stamp Act as well. External impositions for the regulation of our trade do not grant to His Majesty the property of the colonies. The last statute respecting us, the Stamp Act, grants to His Majesty the property of the colonies by laying duties on the manufacturers of Great Britain, which they must take and which she settled on them on purpose that they should take. Here you see the beginnings of the argument that distinguish between taxation for purposes of regulation of trade, which is legitimate, and taxation for purposes of raising revenue, which is not legitimate if done by Parliament. Now, in the Townsend Act case, in the case of the Townsend Act, Dickinson's arguments were more conciliatory than were Otis's. And in fact, Dickinson was the prime mover behind the Olive Branch petition of 1775, the last gasp of the Continental Congress to try to come to some reconciliation with the British. He really didn't want revolution, but he felt aggrieved. He felt himself British, and his appeal flows in that direction. He makes similar arguments. He sounds similar themes to those that are sounded by Otis. Talking of the Townsend Act, there is another late act of Parliament which appears to me unconstitutional as destructive of the liberty of these colonies. Unconstitutional. Not a violation of natural law. Unconstitutional. A violation of the rights that Englishmen are accorded. The Parliament, he says, unquestionably possesses a legal authority to regulate the trade of Great Britain and all of her colonies. We are but parts of a whole, and therefore there must exist a power somewhere to preside and preserve the connection in due order. Again, regulate external affairs, that is fine. I have looked over every statute relating to these colonies from their first settlement to this time and find every one of them to be founded on this principle, till the Stamp Act. All before are calculated to regulate trade and preserve or promote a mutually beneficial intercourse between the several constituent parts of the empire. Never did the British Parliament, till the period above, think of imposing duties on America for the purpose of raising a revenue. The emphasis is his. For the purpose of raising a revenue. This is what I call an innovation, and a most dangerous innovation. What is the difference in substance and right, whether the same sum is raised upon us by the rates mentioned in the Stamp Act on the use of paper, or by these duties on the importation of it? It is only the addition of a former book, shifting a sentence from the beginning to the end. You may think you're cute, Parliament. You may think you're clever. You may think that by jostling around words and changing acts with the same baseline, you'll fool us. But we are above being fooled. We are Englishmen, and we are aware of our rights.